Welcome to 3rd and 8, coming to you from the UCC studios here in Oxford, North Carolina. Let's get the show started with your hosts, Brandon Adcock and Jason Varner.
Hey guys, hey, welcome back to the 3rd and 8. Man, it's the division around, boy. We got some big boy games going on this weekend. Hey, all the scrubs and even our teams are put to the side. It's big boys in the den now.
You just had to say that, man? Didn't you?
I said our teams, bro. I didn't say just yours. You know what I'm saying? My team did Sad Island, too.
You just had to throw that.
Chris's team's on Sad Island, though. And that's going to be a topic. That was going to be a topic towards the end. So you're wrong. Hey, our producer, Chris, is having a mix up here.
I guess all of them, but maybe one of my teams are on Sad Island.
Yeah. Chris has turned into my son, like where he cheers for like 12 teams. And I mean, just to be safe, I know a few grown men who are football fans who do the same thing, so I can't knock it.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bandwagoner. I don't think that's his.
I haven't made a selection.
Yeah, he's in the infancy phase, man. It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I remember what that felt like. I was 7, 6.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, first game on the docket, man. It's the game of the two Aarons.
Uh oh.
Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Donald. Man, I got a bad feeling it's going to be a long day for Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
You think?
Yes, sir, because Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. I think that the most interesting matchup in this game is not at the quarterback spot. It's not at the defensive line spot. It's Davante Adams and Jalen Ramsey. That is going to be absolute damn blockbuster television. Having the best corner in football, and arguably right now they're one of the top two receivers in football. He might have had the best season out of anybody. Actually, he did have the best season, you know, out of anybody in football during the 2020 year. Him and Jalen Ramsey is going to be prime time. Can't wait.
I don't know. Jalen Ramsey always seems to take a really hot, you know, exciting receiver and just make them boring.
Yeah, but most of the receivers ain't got Aaron Rodgers throwing the football, too.
I mean, that's true, I guess. But I think, you know, obviously, Green Bay has a very good chance of winning this game. I think game theory has them at like 61% chance of winning. But I feel like they're sleeping on the Rams and that defense, man. They're not the best defense in the NFL for no reason.
Yeah, but the bad part is, though, is I think, too, that the Rams do have a quarterback controversy brewing, that whether they ignored or not. You know, starting John Wofford last week, and he did look well in one game and got them into the playoffs. And he looked good. Well, he looked okay early on last week, though, until Jamal Adams had decided to run his helmet into his shoulder pad into his helmet on a scramble play. But I think that they do have a quarterback controversy brewing down there. Jared Goff says a former number one pick. He's a former MVP. And, like, John Wofford's getting starts over?
Seems
a little weird. You know, granted, it was the whole thumb, you know, thumb injury thing. But
yeah, I was going to say, Goff said that he was perfectly okay with that. Like, it was his idea because he knew he wasn't 100%. That was just great leadership on Goff's part.
Yeah, that's not something I'm knocking on Goff as far as, you know, his leadership skills at all. You know, granted, though, it does look a tad bit strange. But, I mean, you know, honestly, like, I see both sides of the fence.
Yeah. I don't view it as a quarterback controversy, although I do like how Walker
Jared
plays.
Goff has been really inconsistent this year, though. Like, substantially inconsistent.
I mean, quarterbacks have those years from time to time, man. I mean,
wasn't there a meme on the Facebook group earlier today? I don't know if you guys saw it. I think it was.
Probably.
Of course there was. Okay, so there was a meme. I'm pretty confident I saw it on our group, though, about Jared or the golf guy. They said something about it was 8-1 for Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you take him out, you've only got 2-1.
Yeah. No, well, or was it?
Who was it? Was it him?
It was the young quarterbacks versus the alleged.
It was Rodgers, Breeze, Birdie, and somehow Jared Goff ended up. Over there, I don't know how, against Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen. Yeah, like,
I wouldn't put him in that class.
Like, how the hell, Jared? Like, if anything, you should swap him and Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes don't belong over there anymore because he's still a young butt. Jared Goff is 26 years old. He's old as Pat, Aaron and Breeze.
Yeah, no, I think
Tom, Aaron, and Drew.
I think Goff is a good quarterback. I wouldn't call him anything other than that. I don't think he's great, but he's a good quarterback.
He's another quarterback who needs a lot of help around him to help. Sean McVay is a hell of a play caller. When I talked about this a bunch on a podcast, I'm not going to, you know, go in real depth on it now, but Sean McVay and having the team he has around him helps him a ton. and having Cam Akers come on last game, just pound the ball for like 100 and some yards, helped him a ton, you know, coming off injury. But he did have a 20 touchdown and a 13 interception year.
Right.
And as a former MVP, that looks really bad.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to say that Goff is your prototypical game manager.
Oh, he's like a yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. High tier game manager. That's fine. And Sean McVay's offense, that's all you really need. I do think there's a little spark when Wolford walks on the field because he has the ability to
he's mobile
to move.
Yeah,
yeah. But I don't know that that's needed in McVay's offense. I don't know that McVay's offense is necessarily
because most of his
that.
Yeah. Hey, most of his routes are like timing patterns and
right.
You know, hey, doing stuff off a bootleg and play action where it's kind of you know, hey, once your back foot. Excuse me, your back foot hits, you know, the ball's out.
Yeah,
it's gone. You don't need to be Michael Vick to run Sean McVay's offense, as you said.
Right, yeah, no. And so, no, I don't think Goff belongs in the same category as Rodgers. In the
hell no.
just
say 48 saying. Touchdowns,
yeah.
Five picks. Oh, man, Aaron Rodgers. They were 37 years old. That is a bad old man, boy. Ned Flanders is that dude.
What I will say to you is that the next quarterback, and everybody's going to laugh or have some trash talk, but one of the
– probably.
There's one or two quarterbacks that could get – or three, actually, that come to mind that should be in that same conversation as Rodgers, Breeze. Okay. Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady. And that's –
Hey, tier one?
Yeah, that tier one.
Okay.
And that are coming up on that age range too,
okay,
right?
Okay,
that are like over 30.
Okay, fair enough.
Have proven over their career that they can put up the numbers.
Yeah.
And that, now neither one of these has the Super Bowl wins that, you know, well, Rodgers what, got one?
It's five of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, Rodgers got one. Right, okay. So the three that I think that could reach Roger-type-esque and Bruce-type-esque play, none of them is going to get to Brady with six. But that would be Matt Ryan from Atlanta. Matt Stafford from Detroit.
Stafford got to get one, so does Matt.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then Kirk Cousins. Like, those three guys, over 30.
He's got to get to the playoffs. All right, I'm done. Actually, like, all three of them have to get to the playoffs first because none of them are in the playoffs. So, but I see what you're saying as far as.
This year, yeah. But their numbers, though. Yeah. They have those top 10 QB-type numbers in every category of their play, especially Kirk. I mean, he's got all the numbers. He's just got to find a way to get the wins now. Like, it comes down to, Kirk, you can be the best guy on paper, because you're one of the best quarterbacks on paper, but that's got to translate into
wins.
Football's
not played on paper,
right? It's got to translate. Yeah, it's got to translate into wins. Like, you go out and you do your thing, but what separates you, and this is why, you know, I get picked on a lot, but I say Kirk's a good quarterback. I don't say he's a great quarterback.
Oh, he's a good quarterback.
Kirk can't find a way to win as a team. He does everything he needs to do, but he's got to find a way to inspire his fellow players to do everything that they need to do so that they can win. And that's easy for us to sit in our seat and say, but he's got to find a way to do it on the field because, like you said, Rodgers has found a way to do it. Breeze has found a way to do it. Brady's obviously found a way to do it.
Steroids.
But you call it what you want. But those are the three, I think. I think Matt Stafford, and Kirk Cousins are over the age of 30.
Yeah.
And have put up consistent good numbers regardless of who they're surrounded by.
Yeah.
And
I think, too, Stafford's the one I feel the most sorry for.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could argue that Matt Ryan – actually, there's no damn arguing. You can just go ahead and say that Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan have had plenty of help.
Yeah, they have.
You cannot – outside of Calvin Johnson, I bet that average fan can't name three players who's played on Detroit the whole time Matt Stafford has been there on offense.
Dude, I'm struggling
I know who
right
their
now.
Center was.
Yeah, I'm struggling right now. Yeah,
I can name – let me see. Just for shits and giggles, I'm going to see if I can name any. I know he had Cam Meredith for a bit. He's got Galladay now, DeAndre Swift. He's had Adrian Peterson. He has had eight. I'm blanking the hell out. He's got a pretty good tight end who's young. I cannot think of his name. They drafted. That's my point, bro. Like, yeah. I'm blanking the hell out on line skill players. Like,
he don't have
like,
a
I don't
lot.
Cheer for him, you know, a ton.
Yeah,
you know?
He hasn't had like what I would consider a
He's had Calvin Johnson, bro.
Right? That's what I'm saying. He's his number one, his biggest receiver, you know, as far as Showtime-esque performances would be Megatron or Calvin Johnson. So I don't outside of him, he's never had an all-star roster. I would go to say that Kirk would be the next in line. He's kind of that middle guy. You know, he's had the digs, but Diggs didn't really perform in Minnesota. He's had Thielen.
Diggs didn't what?
He didn't put on the same show he put on in Buffalo.
He ain't got Josh Allen in Minnesota either.
Technically, he's got a better quarterback statistically than Josh Allen. Just saying.
Yeah, but the MVP votes would you know, and differ on that, but go ahead.
That's fine. It's pointless arguing with you.
Thank you.
Last year, everybody wanted Josh Allen gone.
Yeah. I think he had the biggest 2-year swing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, though, an NFL quarterback, I do think that having two very good receivers and route runners in Diggs and Beasley show up helped him tremendously. I don't think he's a different quarterback. I think he's got a different skill set surrounding him, which elevates him. He's a freak of an athlete.
He just hasn't had to make in the past, he's tried to stretch plays out too long and make too many big plays, and he's not had to have done that this year as often. There's still been a few times in this year where he's tried to do that, and you're like, what are you doing, Josh?
Like, can I say something that's kind of – like, I wouldn't even go so far to say it's controversial. Josh Allen is a better just pure talent than Pat Mahomes.
As far as arm?
He's more mobile. He's got a better arm. I think Pat Mahomes is a better quarterback. Don't get it twisted. Steph Curry is a better shooter. Jordan's a better player. No, but as far as just pure out the box, just add water to the pancake mix, Josh Allen. Oh, man, that was a beautiful ass metaphor. But Josh Allen, you know, he's a better raw talent than Pat Mahomes.
Oh, I think Josh Allen has the strongest arm probably in the NFL.
I wish that they would bring back the skills competition at the Pro Bowl, though, and just do away with the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to watch a bunch of guys half-ass playing to avoid injury, and I don't blame them guys. Yeah. I wouldn't want to play in that
I'd rather see a challenge-type event, too, just so I can see Mr. G win. Oh, yeah, baby.
He wouldn't even be invited.
Whatever.
He wouldn't
Dude,
be.
Whatever.
He wouldn't be. But
whatever, bro.
So, having a quarterback,
wow.
You know, a challenge as far as throwing, I think the top three, you know, best deep balls in the league are probably Pat, Josh, and probably Aaron. Aaron's got a f-ing rifle.
I don't know that Pat has all that great of a deep ball.
But tell that to NFL defenses who Tyreek Hill is just saucing.
Okay.
Well, he can't throw it to himself.
But that's not him. You just answered the solution to Pat's problem.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Pat's mid-game, I think, is what separates him from
everybody. Yeah, but I'm saying, no receivers on the field, just drop back at the 20-yard line and just in shorts on the t-shirt and see how far you can launch it.
Oh, I would say the strongest arms in that scenario.
Josh Allen,
would be number one. I think, believe it or not, I think Dwayne Haskins would have the second strongest arm. Horrible quarterback, second strongest arm. And the third strongest arm, I think, would go to, I don't know, man. I don't think it would be Aaron. I really don't.
I don't know, man. I've seen that.
I think it would be Baker Mayfield, to be honest with you.
Sorry, man. It's going to be a lot of bleeps in this podcast, and our producer has given me the side eye, so I apologize. But I've seen Aaron Rodgers roll. Hey, did you say Baker Mayfield?
Mm-hmm.
That fool didn't even.
I saw Baker Mayfield throw a 79-yard pass in a game.
Yeah, but the biggest knock on Baker coming in.
Did you hear me? 79-yard pass in the game, bud. Pads on.
Yeah, but was that like airtime or like the kind of 79-yard pass where he threw it 40 and they ran 30?
No, 79 yards through the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, can you pull that up, Chris, and see if you can find that?
Pull that up.
Not even funny. That'd be impressive as hell.
79 yards, man.
Yeah,
in the game.
You know,
if I'm not mistaken, he was coming out of a drop. He wasn't even dropping back. He was about to roll, so it's kind of like he was backpedaling.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a traditional drop back.
Yeah.
But he was coming out of a basically avoiding the sack and lost at 79 yards.
That would be crazy because Baker, you know, he looks like a...
Right here it is.
How about 70?
70.
Okay. Yeah, that's still not bad.
No,
that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, 70 yards. It's just, that might be the longest ball I've seen thrown in a game.
Yeah. All right, yeah, he does it against the Ravens apparently during the Monday night game. There were 5 seconds left from the 39. Chris, do you mind playing that? You know, just so I can have a gander at it and just see. Oh, okay. He's at the 35-yard line. He goes from the 40.
Not? Mayfield airing it out. Guy's got a gun.
Oh, man. The best part about that play is he put Chuck Clark into the field goal post.
boy.
Yeah, he set him up nicely, boy. The field goal post. With the,
yeah.
Hey, Chris, see if you can find like the longest. Oh, he did. He found the longest throws in NFL history because I wouldn't mind seeing who the longest throw is as far as like game time. Hey, this is pretty cool, you know, being able to do this now and have a sound to it.
Yeah. I think that's the longest throw I remember seeing in a game. And so that tells me that – who is this?
Back to Brady. Now Brady wanting to go long. Gaffney's –
Brady's got a – dude, Brady's got a – yeah, see, he – that's a good pass, though. That was about a 70-yard pass.
Certainly Atlanta made it a game against
– who is this?
This is Tampa Bay, bro, in the old school uniforms.
Oh, in the ugliest uniforms of football history, bro.
Throw it again for distance.
Who is that?
Oh, what a catch by number 87. Good.
Whoa. Whoa. Thomas, well, coach, you called it.
See, that's
Erickson. Okay. Here is Bradshaw. Is that Bradshaw?
Terry Bradshaw with a 70 yard. Oh, hey, can he get there?
That won't quite 70. Hit him in stride, bro.
Yeah.
Hit him in stride.
Yeah, that won't quite 70 yards, but you know what I'm saying? Oh, here's the goat. Hey, goat talk. Hey, goat talk.
Boom. Aaron Rodgers drops it. Oh, right in the basket, boy. Woo! Yeah.
Talk to him, Aaron.
That y'all was only a 50-yard pass, though, boy.
Yeah, y'all can't see the videos, man. But you know what I'm saying? Hey, our producer Chris pulled up the NFL longest throws in history. And then these dudes got some cannons, man. Bring back the skill challenge, NFL, man. Y'all slacking. Bring back the skills challenge.
All right, man, let's get a quick word from our sponsors. When we get back, we'll continue this segment, do some more playoff talk. Thanks for joining us on 3rd and 8.
Welcome back to 3rd and 8, coming to you from the UCC studios here in Oxford, North Carolina. Let's get back to the show with your hosts, Brandon and Jason.
Hey guys, welcome back here to 3rd and 8. Yeah, sorry about the last segment, though. We got a little sidetracked, as we tend to do here, because me and Jason had the attention span of gnats. But who you got winning the Rams-Packers real quick, man? I got Packers.
I'm pulling for the Rams in this one.
Yeah, my son is too, man. Me and him have beef about it today, but next game going on is Ravens and Bills, man. Ooh. That's gonna be the two most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL to me. Josh and Lamar.
I think the Ravens have a slight advantage in that the Bills cannot seem to stop the run.
Yeah,
the Ravens are loaded with running
backs.
Which
pissed me off so bad about the Colts on Saturday. Run the damn ball.
Yep. No, they
run the ball. Frank Reich, please, God.
If they can force Lamar to throw the ball, the Bills wins, hand down.
Yeah, but you got to worry about Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Lamar Jackson running the ball.
I mean, they got a whole team of running backs.
Yeah,
and one of them can throw.
And had Greg Roman call the game on Saturday, he called a beautiful game as far as he would run a couple of the read option looks and leak the fullback out in the flat, that when they pick up 8, 10, 12 yards off plays like that.
What is the fullback's name?
Ricard. He's also a defensive tackle.
That joker is huge.
He's a defensive tackle as well.
God.
Yeah, boy, he's one of the 1980s football players who played both sides. And just, like, he's not great at either. He's good enough at both.
You know what? Who he reminded me of? Like a Mike Allstott. Like, it's who it kept coming back to mind. Yeah. Every time I looked at him, I was like,
yeah, the old Tampa Bay fullback.
Yeah, man. I was like,
yeah, he's big boy.
Yeah, he is big, man. And there was another guy on Carolina a few years back. Was it Tolbert? Was that his name?
Yeah. So, hey, funny story. I actually met Mike Tolbert at a Panthers game a couple years ago, though, when he played the Jets. Like, Mike Tolbert is my height. He looked me in the eye head-to-head, right? And obviously, I'm a pretty wide dude. Yo, Mike Tolbert's wider than me.
But can run.
I look like a f***ing Roblox character. Mike Tolbert does, too.
He ain't lying.
But our physiques are completely different. That dude probably had, 8 ounces of body fat. Like, it was, not being funny.
Yeah.
Like, him, Mario Addison, Steve Smith, he looked like a normal dude, to be fair. Cam Newton was a specimen. I want to say it was Mario Addison. I think was his name. He caught me off guard. But Tolbert, I was like, dude, just walked up, give me his autograph. And me and him was looking at each other in the face. I was like, this, what? And then he got close. I'm like, wait a minute. I am not the same size as that man.
Yeah.
There's a stark contrast here.
Yeah, no, you were the same size. It was just the way it was all put together.
Yeah.
A little bit different, yeah.
He was in the shape of a cereal box, and it was all muscle.
If I had to put my faith in somebody, I'm putting him in Josh Allen and the Bills. But I will say that the Ravens do have, in my opinion, a slight advantage when their ability to run the ball with their running backs, with their quarterback. Hell, even their receivers can run. So
yeah. Strange fact, though, in Vegas, Buffalo is the favorite, though, with 2.5 points.
Yeah, I think
according to ESPN. Yeah.
Game Theory had them up by 26-25, I think, at a 52% chance of
winning. Yeah, but ESPN has the exact opposite of Baltimore, favorite to win at the same percentage.
Well, we're going
to
figure out which nerd is right behind the keyboard, right? I mean,
this is This is going to be the closest game of the weekend to me.
Look, if I had to put the ball in the hands of a guy to make the decision, you know, at the end of the game to win it, I'm going to put it in Josh Allen's hands over Lamar Jackson's, at least right now, this season. But, well, I'd say that 99% of the time. But if I had to play a run defense the way the Bills, like the Bills, I might would put it in Lamar's hands. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Yeah,
hey, Greg Roman needs to take a hard look at what the Colts did well Saturday. And the Colts tight ends killed, you know, Buffalo Saturday. And I think that Greg Roman, knowing he has a quarterback who loves to play with tight ends on the field, one, had a help block. And two, because, you know, tight ends have a fairly large catch radius, over 5'9", hey, wide receivers. So having his tight ends on the field should have presented a dual threat, you know, hey, towards the defense of Buffalo, where, okay, if they run, you know, I'm going to get pancaked. Oh, wait, hey, Mark Andrews just opened it for 10 yards. Boom, it's done. Boom, it's done. You know what I'm saying? No dink and dime them down the field, though. And that's what Rivers done.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Buffalo is going to have to play a nickel or dime package in order to contain you ain't Lamar.
Yeah, because if you put a linebacker on Lamar, I'll see an end zone partner. Yeah, it ain't happening. You ain't catching. Yeah.
There's not many that can do it. Yeah. Maybe Devin White, maybe Queen can run with him in the short field, but there ain't no linebacker. The only defensive front seven person I think could run with Lamar Jackson is Montez Sweat, because he runs a 4.41 40. That would be it. And he would still lose the foot race.
Yeah. I don't see nobody in the league. Probably. I was like, skills talent again. Now, Tyreek and Lamar in a foot race. I think Tyreek would win. No, but I think it'd be scary close.
Who going to win out of the – but I think Ruggs outrun them both.
I don't know, man. No, pure speed and game speed.
4.251, man.
Yeah, but that's a lot of speed.
That's a lot of speed. That's – dude, that's moving. That's the type of speed I dream of. I'd like to be at 4.7, much less 4.25.
I ain't hard to get along with.
But I'm pulling for the Bills here, man. I love it. I'm all in for the Bills Mafia. You know, Bills.
I'm still salty about last week, man. I'm cheering for Lamar Jackson this weekend. I like Lamar, man. Everybody mad about he can't win the big game. He's the youngest player ever to win the Heisman, ever to win NFL MVP, ever to win start a playoff game. You know, youngest player ever win a playoff game.
I mean,
but what else the man got to do?
What does the Heisman even mean anymore after this year? I mean, Trevor Lawrence doesn't win it.
He wasn't the best. Okay, so the Heisman Jesus Christ, Jesse. Me and you cannot stay on one topic to save our lives. But the Heisman, though, was a beauty contest to me. You know, obviously Trevor Lawrence has been.
He's got nicer hair. If it's a beauty contest, he's got the hair. He's got the California Dreamboat looks.
Yeah. He's definitely your type of quarterback, Jason.
Yeah, he's a dreamboat.
going on a Sunday, man. Chiefs and Browns.
Uh-oh. This is the one I look forward to the most. Well, no, the second most.
Past two seasons, the quarterbacks who rested the week before the playoffs are 1-3. Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes rested before the playoffs.
Yeah, he did. It's not necessarily an advantage, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I do think that all depends on who your coaching staff is.
Now you're talking about 2 weeks without playing.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially.
You can come in cold, man. I know you've been practicing, but you ain't been playing.
Yeah.
And it's not like you got an advantage because you didn't know you were going to play the Browns until this week. So,
that's a 10-point spread.
The Chiefs should win this game. The Chiefs are at 61 or 2%, according to game theory, to win the game.
ESPN got them at – oh, good God. I guess what ESPN got them at.
Plus 13?
No.
What?
Minus 10-point spread, though, and 81% to win.
Oh, 81% to win.
That seemed a little high.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you right now.
And, like, I'm big on the Chiefs and bold on the Chiefs, but now 81% does seem a little steep after Cleveland, you know, steamrolled Pittsburgh last week.
What I seen Miami do to the Chiefs, and I saw the Raiders do it. You can say the Raiders division, whatever. I saw the Raiders beat them with a strong run game.
Yeah.
Cleveland's got twice the run game that Las Vegas has.
It still feels weird saying Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, it does. But I think if Cleveland comes in there and puts the ball in Chubb and Hunt's hand and let Baker do what he does off play action.
Chubb.
Dude, Kansas City could be out of this thing this week. And I know that's if your aunt had – I know, go ahead and say it. If my aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle. I get it. But I'm just saying there's a legitimate chance.
I actually see how, though, if they play keep away, you know, strange things happen in football because I didn't see him going up 28 nut last year.
And if those defensive backs – look, you don't have to do that in the first quarter again because I felt like you used up all the juice in that first quarter on defense. But if you just – If you can pick Mahomes off three times the way Miami did and play defense the way Miami did, which I think Cleveland's capable of doing, and run the ball, which Miami couldn't do, and throw the ball effectively, which Miami couldn't do, you're going to beat them. Because Las Vegas didn't play the perfect game against them. Nobody's made them get into a... Everybody's played Kansas City this year in a shootout, which I get. They have one of the best offenses in the game. You think that's the way it's going to go. I'm just waiting on a defense like the Chargers in game one to shut them out. No, it's game one this year. Anthony Lynn ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
They blitzed Lamar. They blitzed Patrick the whole time.
They had him
on his butt the whole time. He was fidgety. He wasn't comfortable. Dude, Cleveland, you've got Garrett. Look, you got Garrett, man. I think if anybody can beat him, Cleveland can beat him. If Cleveland don't put him out of the playoffs, whoever wins between the Bills and the Ravens are not. Okay? This is your AFC championship game right here.
Obviously, I want to see Pat Mahomes get into. I think Pat Mahomes is going to be, something of the future of the league going forward. I do have a weird thing, though, seeing Cleveland win, man. It brings some joy to my heart in a weird world.
I think this is your AFC championship game. Now, if Cleveland wins, of course, the Ravens and or the Bills can beat Cleveland. I don't think any one of them can beat Kansas City. But I think Cleveland, with their front four and their pass rush – and the decent secondary and their run game, they're the only AFC team left, I think, can beat Kansas. So if somebody's going to beat them, it's going to be this week. So I'm all in for Cleveland. Go Browns. I'm so happy to be pulling for the underdog. I have nothing against the Chiefs. My son loves the Chiefs.
Yeah, mine.
I think the Chiefs, man. Yeah. Look, I love them.
All kids like the Chiefs because they're so explosive. Yeah.
But I'm pulling for the Browns.
I ain't going to fault you for pulling the foot on the dog. But as the Colts... he went into Arrowhead Stadium, the 2018 season, and upset Kansas City. And guess how we did it?
Pounding the ball?
Yeah, ran the ball.
Yeah.
Kind of high 40s, low 50 times. And we just beat them. Oh, and it was so beautiful to watch. Now, because it was a primetime game and nobody gave the Colts a chance. And Marlon Mack was 3 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard, 8 yards, 5 yards. And we just beat the hell out of them.
Yeah. And just wore them down.
And I
kept the ball out of hands.
Absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, to prove your point, it can be done. Do I think it'll happen? No. I don't think it's going to be a 10-point spread. Hey, 28-24 Chiefs is what I see it ended up being, to be honest.
Well, this is where I'm at on it. I think it's going to go one of two ways. Cleveland's going to win this game somewhere in the neighborhood of like 35-27, 28. Or Cleveland's going to get blew out. It's going to be one of those two things. It very well could be that 10-point spread. It depends on how quick Cleveland strikes and how committed they are to the run game, in my opinion. If they go in, they stay committed to the run game, they play effective defense, I think Cleveland has as good a chance as anybody is of winning this game. And quite frankly, they might be on the road to the Super Bowl, which I would adore. Go ahead. Go Cleveland. Go Browns. Moving on. Buccaneers and the Saints. This is one I'm most looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think Tom Brady's going to come in very motivated. And even though it's bad, as I would love to see Tom Brady lose, a motivated, pissed-off Tom Brady is absolutely totally terrifying for everybody in front of him. But, hey, what I will say is that the Saints' defense does pose a weird threat to Tampa Bay's offense, where in two games this year, they pretty much stonewalled them. And what worries me the most is that if you're Mike Evans, is the guy opposite of you, Marshawn Lattimore, has put the absolute teetotal lockdown, Trey Jones at Duke style clamps on you, like Deion Sanders clamps on you for three seasons, and you can't shake him. So if you're going into that game as a Saints fan, you're like, okay, just hypothetically speaking, if I'm a Saints fan, which praise God I'm not, he looks at the other side of the ball like, well, obviously Brady's a threat. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. I trust our run defense. It's good enough. Chris Godwin would terrify me a little bit. Now, because you don't have a number one corner, or excuse me, though, a number two corner who can stop Godwin in the same sense that Marshawn Lattimore lines up opposite of Mike Evans at number 13 and stops him. I think that obviously Tampa Bay has a more explosive offense, just, you know, hey, because of the skill players, who's around Brady and Evans, Godwin, Gronk, AB, and Ronald Jones, and Fournette, and all them guys. Yeah, but the Saints are 3-0 against them, or excuse me, 2-0 against them, but I don't know, man, beating a team a third time is tough.
So
it's really tough over the course of NFL history, you know, seeing, you know, honestly, Pittsburgh, they just went through it.
I can understand why you would say that. This is my thoughts on it. As upset as I am about the refs and their no calls last week, which there was an entire game of them, I think the Bucs stand a chance of winning this game, especially if they can get away with holding the way they did last week. If they can hold the way they did last week, grabbing face masks, grabbing shoulder pads.
It was a love tug, man.
Basically sitting on the guys, then there's no way Saints are going to win this game. But I will say this. You're right. Tampa Bay has an excellent pass defense, which makes the play of Heinicke last week even better because my man threw for 306 yards.
And if you're a Buccaneers fan, if Taylor Heinicke can shred you for that,
there you go.
Jason, shut the hell up.
There you go.
Drew Brees is in a different category than Taylor Heinicke.
There you go.
Don't even sit here and
talk. There you go.
Jason.
That's strawmanning the hell out of that argument.
That is not strawmanning.
That is. There you go.
So, no, just say it, Jason. Drew Brees is worse than Taylor Heinicke.
I'm not saying he's worse.
So, if Taylor Heinicke, coming off one quarter of practice or game script, can shred you for 300 yards, if you're a Bucs fan, Drew Brees don't terrify the hell out of you, though, with Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Emmanuel Sanders on that sideline.
No, because
you were next to nothing.
No, because you shut down Mike Thomas. You haven't shut down Kamara. I'd be worried about Kamara.
And Mike Thomas weren't even there this year. Thomas was hurt both games.
I know Drew Brees don't worry me if I'm Tampa Bay. Because, you know, if Drew Brees would have been playing for the Washington football team last week, there would have been like 16 sacks by the Tampa Bay Bucs. Drew Brees can't move in the pocket. He can't get out of the pocket. He can't make a play happen. Tyler Heinicke did. I'm saying that to say this. If I'm the Saints, people can laugh all they want to, and I really wanted to win this game, I'd start my boy Taysom Hill. Because I saw what Heinicke was able to do. And they're very similar in their play. They're mobile. Taysom Hill's even more mobile than Tyler Heinicke is. He'll straight out fly. He can outrun just about anybody in the NFL. I mean, he's up there with Lamar and them.
No, hell no, he's not. He's not that fast.
Dude, he's fast, dude.
He's not Lamar Jackson
fast. He fast.
There's fast, and then there's Lamar Jackson fast. He's not that fast.
Whatever you want to say, man. Just
so
saying.
You would go into a playoff game and start Taysom Hill.
You daggone right.
Drew Brees.
Taysom Hill didn't lose many games when he started this season.
And neither did Teddy Bridgewater when he went 5-0. What the hell's your point?
Teddy Bridgewater can't move like Taysom Hill.
Throw like Teddy Bridgewater.
Like he did. What are you talking about? He did. All I'm telling you is I watched what Tyler Heinicke did against this defense because he could get out of the pocket. When the pocket collapsed, he was able to get out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think Drew Brees can do that.
Well, I mean, he's never been able to do that.
Right.
Like at any point.
So if I'm trying to push the ball downfield where they look weak, which is where Washington beat them, Washington didn't beat them short. Washington beat them throwing the ball downfield 15, 20 yards at a time. But that was because Heinicke could get out of the pocket and stretch the play.
I mean, he was going to get at least 10 and 15 plays a game.
I'm just saying, if it's me, I have nothing against Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks to ever played a game. Ever.
Yeah, but if you know what I'm saying, go into a playoff game.
I'm trying to win.
Bench Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, you absolutely lose the trust of that locker room. If I'm in the locker room, I'm like, Sean, what the hell are you doing? Drew Brees is a first ballot. Go ahead and get your bus ready for Canton. Walking into the Hall of Fame. Doors unlocked.
Okay.
Case is being prepped. The glass is being Windexed. Taysom Hill isn't even a bona fide starter in the NFL yet. You don't make that decision. I understand that Tampa Bay has a pass rush, and it did help. You know, Heinicke was elusive. Now, but Taysom Hill, that would get his spots in the game. Everybody knows that. He always does.
I'm just saying.
Sean has a weird effect for him that I don't understand.
I'm telling you right now. I believe. After watching how ineffective the Saints were against the Bears, they only scored 21 points. Not that great, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the Bears have a good defense. Don't forget the
Saints.
Decent
defense.
Bears also beat Tampa Bay this year. What's your point?
Okay.
They did the Saints twice.
Okay.
Bears have a decent defense.
All what I'm telling you is,
it's better than Tampa Bay's.
If you go into this game, and I think if Brees starts, Tampa Bay is going to beat you somewhere around 45 to like 20.
They're not scoring 45. They didn't score 45 in two games combined.
It's going to be a blowout.
I don't think so.
Oh, what?
It's a division game.
It's going to be a blowout.
In New Orleans.
It's going to be a blowout. There's no fans there. It doesn't matter. If the fans were there, it would matter.
The only blowouts this year in New Orleans was when New Orleans beat the hell out of Tampa Bay both times. That's home and on the road.
I'm telling you, man.
I think it's going to be a tight game. Hey, 27-24 to 28-24, something along those lines.
Nah, get ready. Get ready. One, Brady's pissed that they didn't execute, in his opinion, well enough against Washington, which I didn't see them not execute on any play, really, except for maybe three. Brady's pissed. You saw it in his face. You know, what are y'all doing? We're not executing to perfection. He's going into this game having lost
twice.
So your
logic behind that is that Tom Brady, it got past a four-string quarterback by 8 points.
Here we go.
No. Wait. Is Taylor Heineke not the fourth quarterback? You guys are pretty shit behind Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith. That's my point. Tom Brady beat not even a four-string quarterback. He worse than that by 8 points.
Here we go.
And you're worried, and you know Drew Brees on the other side, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback, doesn't worry you?
Yeah, this is why I'm worried, right? And this is why I'm not worried about Drew in this game. You guys put way too much stock into, oh, well, this guy was riding the bench. Brady rode the bench once, and he's the best there ever been.
Yeah, but he didn't ride it until he was 27 and have a game and a half, and you want to get this into the
years,
Hall of Fame.
How many years
he
sat on the bench?
He sat on the bench for, I think, a year, and Bledsoe got hit during the sidelines, and here comes Tom Brady.
Okay.
It's not a big deal, bro.
Okay.
It's a big difference, Taylor Heineke and Drew Brees.
How many years did Pat Mahomes sit on the bench?
He sat on the bench for...
Two.
Right? No, he didn't. It was 1 year, and he played the last game of the year.
So a year.
So yeah, but you cannot equate Taylor Heineke to Drew Brees. There's nothing to equate.
Here's what I can
play quarterback in the NFL.
Here's what I can equate. When Heineke got his shot to come out and play a game,
he lost it. Brees going to the Hall of Fame.
He put up 306 yards.
You know how many 300 yards a game Drew Brees have? And so you're saying Drew Brees isn't capable of putting up 300 yards?
Here we go. I didn't say he wasn't capable. Drew Brees has been playing in the NFL now for how many years? I'll wait. All that experience.
That's my point. He's seen more.
I'm just saying. Heineke walks in, none of that.
That proves my point. He ain't seen his butt.
No, what I'm saying, but you're discounting the kid, man. You're discounting him. You're like, well, he ain't done it 48 times. He ain't had an opportunity to do it 48 times. Well, it can't be that good, or a coach would have seen it. Coaches make mistakes all the time.
And so would you feel safe going in next year if Taylor Heineke was your starting quarterback
Absolutely.
For the entire season? And you know what you would be at 7-9?
No, we wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No,
Jason.
We wouldn't, man.
You're 0-2 when you're behind the helm.
No, we're
you
not.
You
got to
quit falling
he
off.
Come in he come in with 9 minutes and put up 21 points.
Jason, he was playing a team he's familiar with, who was his former team, two, playing a deep pass defense, giving him everything under the middle.
He didn't throw anything under the middle. He threw three touchdowns over the top of their head.
So
while they were in prevent defense.
Who would you
there you
first,
go again, making shit up, man.
No, I'm not making shit up.
You discount everything. Y'all don't even watch. I'm to the point, I don't even believe half of y'all, when y'all talk shit, have watched the game.
I don't think
y'all didn't
you
watch
can,
the
you
kid
can't watch
play.
The team and not show bias, Jason.
I can watch the team and
you
not show bias.
You can't say that one quarter. By that, Jason, he had one good game in the playoff against a really bad
Just
defense.
Just like I told you, Tua was shit.
Okay, what's
it
your
was
point?
Afraid to push the ball.
Okay.
I look at that kid walk on the field and push the ball.
He's also been playing in the NFL for 4 years. There's a huge difference there.
Okay.
There's not a difference in a guy that's played 8 games and a guy that's played 4 years
How
in
many
the league.
Games has he started?
I think he started he started more than two because he started in Carolina.
He
Jason.
Started one game in Carolina.
He started more than
one,
that.
One, and they benched him because he threw three interceptions his first game.
Now he's 0-2 with the starter with three picks.
Four picks.
Okay.
He threw a pick in that game. It was tipped.
I'm not saying the kid doesn't have heart. I'm not saying it's not a feel-good story. I'm not saying that he's not an all right quarterback.
Yeah, you are.
But no, I'm not. I just said that, and you just refuse to listen because he's a Washington quarterback. And
No, I'm not. What I
put
said
him in the
was,
Hall of Fame.
If I was the comparison was, I saw what a kid that plays like Heineke can do to Tampa Bay's defense. The person that's most closely matched to that in the Saints quarterback lineup is Taysom Hill. Play Taysom Hill, you'll beat the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Taysom's going to get 10 to 15 plays.
I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. And you just constantly want to be like, oh, yeah, hold his fourth string. Brady barely got past the fifth string quarterback, man. God. He ain't just a regular fifth string quarterback. We've seen backup quarterbacks come in all season. None of them played like that. Let's just be real about it. Drew Brees, he played better than half the starters all year.
Drew Brees, y'all starters. Drew Brees.
My star. Okay. Okay.
So Drew Brees.
Okay.
Drew Brees, who apparently should be benched.
He threw against, more.
Ugh. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hang tight. Drew Brees, who should be benched.
Okay.
Against Tampa Bay in a playoff game. This year against Tampa Bay.
Okay.
It's through no interceptions.
Okay.
And guess how many touchdowns? 6 in 2 games. So he hadn't threw a pick, and he's threw for 3 touchdowns apiece. Well, like 2-1, 4-0.
They're going to lose Sunday by starting him.
You would really start Taysom Hill over Drew Brees in a playoff game. That is absurd.
I would, because I saw what that defense can't handle. They can collapse from the outside, but they are soft in the middle, and the quarterback can get out. Drew Brees, Taysom Hill would – and I'm saying Taysom Hill, to me, is more mobile and would be even better at than what Heineke did. I love Heineke. Heineke, to me, needs to be the starting quarterback in Washington next year. Give the kid a chance. He did everything. He put it on the line. He needs to be there. But Taysom Hill can move. Taysom Hill could flat out fly. You break down the edges on Taysom Hill like that, it's not going to be a 12-yard run like Heineke or that one long 25-yard run where he dived for a touchdown. It's going to be 30, 40, 50 yards a pop. And you can't – go ahead. Dude, play that way against Taysom Hill. You might say all you want to – all I'm telling you is when they're playing pass defense, which they're going to have to play against the Saints because they can't throw the ball effectively, and you break down those edges like that and you're soft in the middle the way they are on the pass rush, Taysom Hill will eat your ass alive.
I'm not saying he wouldn't. I'm saying –
that's all I'm saying. Play the game to win. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying
that you can't bench a Hall of Fame quarterback.
The hell I wouldn't.
That's crazy.
The hell I wouldn't. One game. Look, I'm sorry. Look, I'll tell you what, Brees, can you learn to run in a week? No. Okay, in that case, if you don't mind, sir, but now that I've seen this in postseason.
He beat them by 35 points 2 months ago when he went running around then. He threw for 4 touchdowns, though, for 26 for 32 for 222 and 4 touchdowns.
Here's when you beat them. Let's just be honest about when you beat them. No offseason. No preseason training.
The Saints weren't in the same condition. What's your point?
No, they – Drew Brees, Kamara, Thomas, those guys have played together. This is Brady's first year in Tampa. It's a completely different situation.
Okay.
Okay? They didn't have all that time to get their timing and stuff down. In the past 4 weeks, they used the rest of the season to get their time. In these past 4 weeks, they've had it.
They should, because they haven't played. They have not played in the above .500 team in the past.
Fine, I'm not saying anything about
that. The Bucs are 1-3 against actual playoff teams.
That's fine.
You know who are above .500.
That's fine. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. All I'm telling you is right now they're more dangerous than they've ever been.
I would have to disagree, but that's just for me. You are not going to agree on this because you like.
You think that they've been more dangerous at any point this season than what they are right now?
Okay. Baltimore has won how many straight? 6 straight. They've won more than Tampa Bay, though. Do you think Baltimore is more dangerous right now?
Yeah, Baltimore's playing football again. They weren't playing football at all in the middle of the season.
Now, Bills have won 5 straight. You know what I'm saying? Do you think that the Bills have won? Or, excuse me, they were hot right now? No, Jason.
The Bills been hot all season.
They have the same – well, yeah, it's a 2-game difference up between them and Baltimore.
Yeah, they've been playing hot all season. I mean –
But, you know, Tampa Bay, if I'm a Bucs fan or a Tom fan or whatever you guys are now, Tom Brady has a weird following. They're the same with LeBron James does. Hey, coming off a game where you won by 8 points against Washington, and you're 1-3 against
second best defense in the NFL.
You know, won by 8 points against Washington, and you're 1-3 against playoff teams above .500 this season. Your whole last quarter of the season, you didn't play a team over .500 for a month and a half. And Taylor Heineke just shredded you on defense.
Yeah, he did.
I would
because
be
he can do the one he can do the one thing that Drew Brees can't do. He did everything that Drew Brees could do in that game. He read. He didn't make a single bad read the entire game, did he? No. The kid, that's what so many, all the people announcing and commentating on the game was like, this kid hasn't made a bad read all night.
And so if you think Taylor Heineke can't make a bad, if Taylor Heineke didn't make a bad read, what the hell you think Drew Brees is going to do him?
What does that mean?
Jason, it's
there you go again. You're
no,
saying,
it's
oh,
not, Jason,
there
no.
you go making this false equivalent. Well,
no,
if Heineke can do it, then Drew can do it.
Yes.
No.
If Taylor Heineke can pick you up from the pocket,
what I told you
what
was.
What makes you think that a first battle of the Hall of Fame can do it?
Brandon, what I just said to you was Heineke did everything that Drew could do for the Saints. He can read their defense and pick them apart. But that didn't always work for Heineke, right? He had to get out and run. Brees cannot do that. Brees cannot do that. Taysom Hill can. I'm not saying Taysom's better than Drew Brees. I'm not saying Taysom will win you the Super Bowl. I'm not calling for Taysom to start over Drew Brees in every game. All I'm saying is if I was in New Orleans and I saw what Tyler Heinicke did to the Bucs last week and how he did it, Heinicke offered me everything that Drew Brees could and something that he couldn't. But Taysom Hill can give you everything Heinicke gave you and a little bit more because he's an even better athlete. Put his ass in there, win the game.
I don't think you win that game if he'll just
start. The hell?
You're 2-0 with Brees already starting against him, bro. Like, I don't think this is a rocket science. Like, it doesn't take rocket appliances to know.
No, you're fine.
Yes, I said rocket appliances. You heard me correctly.
That's fine. Thank you, Trailer Park Boys. That's fine. I get it. They won 2 times early in the season.
Bro, it was a month and a half ago. It wasn't like it was week 2. Well, hey, one win was week 1 when he, you know what I'm saying, put the money wop on them. That wasn't even the big win. That was the close one.
That's okay.
And so the gap is spurted as Tom Brady's got acclimated. You know what I'm saying? Would I be surprised if Tampa Bay won? Hell no. Nothing else surprised me in the NFL, especially this late in the year. It's 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks and 2 very good coaches. 2 very good offensive skill players. It's okay.
Here's what's going to happen. Look, just mark my words. You don't start Taysom Hill. If you don't start Taysom Hill, Brandon, go ahead and have him on the sideline, fired up, ready to go, because Drew Brees is going to be hurt by the second quarter. Because that pass rush that they got is no joke, bro. He ain't going to be able to move. He can't move, man.
He's through for 6 touchdowns and no picks. I like my chances over the first battle. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hear a word from our sponsors. When we get back, we got, we're going to talk about some 90s wrestling.
Yes, sir. It's going to cost all time.
Right. Thank you, UCC Studios. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
At ServPro of North Raleigh and Wake Forest, customer service is at the heart of everything that we do. Our franchise was recognized among the top 100 in the country for customer satisfaction. We have the expertise and equipment to help you recover from the effects of water, fire, mold, storms, floods, and biohazardous threats. No matter when disasters strike, you can count on our highly trained professionals at ServPro of North Raleigh Wake Forest to make it like it never even happened. Find us on Facebook at #likeitneverevenhappened or call us at 919-790-1222. That's 919-790-1222. ServPro of North Raleigh and Wake Forest, like it never even happened.
You're listening to an American Pod Talk production. For more content, please visit us online at www.americanpodtalk.com.
Welcome back to 3rd and 8, coming to you from the UCC studios here in Oxford, North Carolina. Let's get back to the show with your hosts, Brandon Adcock and Jason Varner.
Hey guys, welcome back to the 3rd and 8, man. In this segment, I'm very excited for, man. If you're a 90s baby, even an 80s baby, it's one thing that we all grew up on and seemed to love, man, was 90s wrestling. I miss the old Stone Cold Stunners, Rock Bottoms, and every now and again, I give my son a people's elbow with no shame. on the line, they have my buddy Cody DeVinny. Huge wrestling fan, man. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I want you to see if you can answer them. See if you can bring me some cool, new wrestling news because I don't watch it no more. But, Cody, how's it going, man? What's going on with you?
Doing pretty good, brother. How are y'all?
I'm good, man. Sad as you are, man, because you also suffered a loss on the wild card weekend last week.
At least he got to do it in Nickelodeon style.
Hey, man, I actually like Nickelodeon broadcasting that.
I bet you did, you Sherman. you look like somebody like Sherman.
The MVP.
Who? Yeah, losing a game. That's why you shouldn't trust the popular vote. No, but I digress. Hey, Cody, so as far as 90s wrestlers go, man, who is your favorite 90s wrestler, though? If you had to pick one just off the rip, man, who would you take?
Definitely. Well, my favorite 90s wrestler is my favorite wrestler ever, which is Shawn Michaels.
Heartbreak Kid.
Hey, hilarious story. Honest to God's truth. And if I'm wrong, hopefully my aunt will correct me. A couple of years ago, though, my aunt told me, though, my actual name, it was supposed to be Shawn Michaels, and my dad decided against it just because my mama loved Shawn Michaels so much. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, Cody. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good, definitely. Yeah, Heartbreak Kid, though, man. That his stretch in the 90s was like the best stretch of any wrestler of all time. I mean, he was at the top of his game then. And I mean, I'd say he's the best in-ring competitor we've ever seen. Of course, you got like Ric Flair, who held all the titles, and you got Stone Cold, who's the most charismatic. But Shawn Michaels in that ring was magic every time he stepped between the ropes, especially back in the late 90s.
Yeah, man, the Heartbreak Kid with that Sweet Chin Music, boy, was something to behold, man. Like, and honest to God, the one of the, you know, had the two saddest events that I ever he witnessed in wrestling. That was, I was watching the pay per view live, though, when Owen Hart passed away, unfortunately. And the second saddest moment I've witnessed in wrestling is when Shawn Michaels had to put the Stone Cold, the Sweet Chin Music on Ric Flair. And he was like, "I'm sorry."
Oh, yeah.
"I'm sorry." And just kicked the shit out of my man. I was like, "If you want sorry, do you want to kick them so damn hard, Shawn? You want sorry? You just kicked that man into Tuesday. Shit."
Shawn was
and
cool.
The real impressive thing there was Shawn Michaels made a 64-year-old Ric Flair look like the, you know, match of the night that night. Like,
yeah, oh, I agree.
Made that a main event quality WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah, for
that
sure.
That shows you talent there.
Yeah, and that's like, I swear, like, you know, hey, that memory just stands out so bad. It's like, man, that was some sad shit seeing Shawn have to kick that man like that. But Shawn's feud with Bret Hart kind of tripped me out, too.
See, I like Bret. Bret.
I didn't like Bret for some reason.
You don't like anybody with class and style.
No, because I like drunk people that stun a people. That's what give me Stone Cold that would drink a beer, Stone Cold you in your face, and then, you know, hit you with the two birds and walk the hell off.
How was it none of them ever won an Oscar?
I don't know. Stone Cold drove a damn beer truck.
I'll tell you why. Because Hollywood don't know what they're doing, man. I mean, they don't know real talent. You know what I mean? They don't. Nah, because they were. Like, you think about that. That's some of the best drama that was ever on TV.
Oh, for sure.
Sting and Hulk, right? Brett and Shawn. Triple H. The Four Horsemen. I mean, these guys. The Undertaker, the Giant.
That's what I was
these
thinking.
Guys, man. When the Kane and the Undertaker. Come on. Hey. Or what was the old boy, the crazy one with the sock puppet? What was his name?
Mankind.
Yeah.
Mr. Sock.
Yeah.
Now,
Nick Foley.
Nick Foley.
That man was like Cactus Jack, Dula, Mick Foley, Mankind. Hey, Cody, how many other personalities did that dude have? Like, that was the four, right?
He had Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, Mankind, Dude Love.
Okay, so, I'm a four for four. I ain't forgot.
Randy Savage. Man. Look, man, you didn't have better drama than that. You can't write a script
They
like
missed
that.
A brilliant opportunity. They had the Macho Man, right? They should have had him a fat tag team partner named the Nacho Man.
Nacho Macho.
They missed a golden marketing opportunity there, boy. They f***ed that one up.
Nah, man, they had
cream, though, man.
Huh?
That he is the cream.
Yeah.
He was good. You see, I like some of the other ones too.
I am
like,
the cream.
Like the darker guys, like Goldust. Goldust always interested me, man.
Oh, yeah, that was too much ball kicking for me. Yeah. Oh, man.
Those one piece suits, boy, he would come out. Oh
man.
He was different. He was a different cat.
Well, if you want to talk about late 90s time with the darker stuff, we had The Brood, which was the, if you're not a wrestling fan, you might not even know The Brood, but The Brood was like a vampire faction. And that's where Edge, my guy Edge, made his debut was in The Brood. But they were for a little bit there.
Wasn't that like a spinoff of like Triple X's whole
The Generation X
deal? They kind of like Matt Hardy and all them. They come off of that. Isn't that where that came from originally? Correct me if I'm wrong, Cody.
A little bit. I mean, you know, back then there was so many different ideas going around from everybody. Like. It, I guess you could say it was in the sense that they were a faction, which was relatively new back then. But The Brood was kind of its own thing.
Yeah, because they had, what, Christian, Gangrel?
It was
Gangrel.
Edge.
Gangrel. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I forgot he existed.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. With the fangs, man.
Yeah, and then I'm blanking on the rest of the other main member.
Yeah, they had the fangs.
It was Jeff Hardy, Edge, and Gangrel. Or Gangrel or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that's Hardy crazy. Being in it, man. I mean, Hardy, you know, when the Hardy brothers came out, that was right at the end.
Boy.
That was right at the end of my before I started transitioning out of wrestling. They were one of the last of my favorite tag teams. I thought they were pretty cool, but my heyday was like Eddie Guerrero.
Oh man,
Rey Mysterio.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Road Warrior?
Hawk and Animal.
Yep. Yeah, dude. Like I was born in 85. So I come in when I really got into wrestling, when I was 4 and 5, you know, it was 89, 90, man. So it was kind of like the golden age in my opinion. when it was really big primetime TV, but you still had some of that old school characteristics. So yeah, man, right. it was, I remember, what is that? Like the Four Horsemen, man.
Yep.
God. Yeah, dude. Some of those with WrestleManias, Rick, boy. Anderson, yeah. Boy, it was good stuff, yeah, man. Yeah,
if you go back and you want to like as somebody who, you know, I'm a big member, still a big WWE fan to this day. So I got the WWE Network, which is essentially, if you don't know what that is, if you've been out of the wrestling game for a little bit, it's how they show their pay-per-views nowadays, but it's a streaming service that's like WWE Netflix, and they got all the old stuff on there.
Oh, man.
And if you go back and you look at some matches from, like, I'll say, like, 97 to, like, 2002, and look at that roster and how many of those people are Hall of Famers now, it's ridiculous. Like, that was the best era of wrestling that we've ever seen, and probably ever will see with the way wrestling's trending right now.
What was your favorite type of match, Cody? Like, what was your favorite
Cody,
match?
Cody, there is one correct answer. Yeah, but I'm going to let you go ahead and say it. There's one correct answer, bro.
Well, my favorite match is undoubtable. It's the Hell in a Cell.
Hell yeah. That was the one acceptable answer, Cody. That is the only acceptable answer.
I like the Royal Rumbles.
Hell no.
I love it when they're like 40 of them in there.
Rumble guy, yeah.
Yeah, I love to see 40 of them in there, and they'll be like walloping on somebody, and they turn around, somebody wallop on them, and then all of a sudden you see somebody flying out. But right before they'd hit the ground, they grab the rope and swing their legs back under, man. That was cool stuff, man. Royal Rumble was it for me. The Hell in a Cell was cool. But it was too,
Don't you dare say violent.
No, not violent. It was just too, production, too much production. The Royal Rumbles was straight up, hey, man, it's a damn street fight, and somebody going to get their damn arm broke because we're throwing you over the rope. And that's kind of what I like about wrestling.
See, when I think Hell in a Cell, the only thing that pops into my head is Mankind being thrown off the top into the table by Undertaker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic.
There were so many things with Cell, though, like, Hell in a Cell created one of the most iconic moments in wrestling, and it was an accident, and it was bad when Mankind got pedigreed through the top of the cell and the cage broke and he fell into the ring.
Yeah, on his neck.
And he fell on all those thumbtacks.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there's like that iconic picture of like Mankind after that match, and he like smiles and he's missing like half his teeth. And you can see like a tooth hanging out of his ear.
Oh, my God.
The tooth went all the way through his head.
Had that. Oh, my God. Now, this is something that's kind of bothering me, where it's like it's scripted, but it's real. That's got to be some tremendously painful stuff to go through. Like, it's got to hurt. But like, hey.
Yeah, so as a big wrestling fan, the phrase that I like is wrestling is choreographed. Like, they tell you some certain things, what to do and where to go. But, I mean, to a certain extent, if you're getting picked up 10 feet in the air by the Big Show and dropped on the ground, I mean, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You're still an athlete. Yeah.
So, like, who do you think is a wrestler who was overrated in his time?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I don't want to say it, but I want to say Hulk Hogan.
All right. Okay.
I feel like if you're looking at it from an in-ring talent level, like Hulk was great. But what Hulk did was he gave you a face to the business. Like, when he came out with his, you know, Hollywood Hulk, you know, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, like, he was the guy you could market. But I mean, as good as he was in the ring, like, he couldn't match a lot of people of the day. Like, you know, if I'm picking my favorite wrestlers from that day and the best wrestlers of that day, you know, obviously you got the Nature Boy, and, you know, I'm taking Dusty Rhodes. You know, there's a couple people I'd put above the Hulk in that time.
See,
that's hard, man. I feel like everybody brings such a different thing.
Yeah, like, I agree. Like, I think, you know, hey, my two most overrated was Bret Hart, strangely enough, and Hulk Hogan.
Nah.
I love Hulk Hogan, but all he had, honestly, there was the big boot and arguing.
Yeah.
And the leg drop.
The leg drop.
That, and, like, his body kind of tripped me out. But
he knew how to work up the crowd, though.
Oh, yeah, see, that's the part Kurt was talking about.
Exactly. He was charismatic.
He brought something.
See, my favorite wrestler, who I think was so far underrated, was Chris Benoit.
Whew, that's a touchy one.
Dude.
Oh, 100% agreed.
Dude, that Joker, it honestly, if there was anybody that made it look absolutely 100% real, and even his specialty moves really looked like the crossface crippler, I would not want to be put in that bad boy.
We still talking about in the ring or his personal life?
Both.
Whoa. Wow. Off the deep end with that one, Chris.
I mean, I'll be the guy who'll tell you, like, you know, if you take out the ugly side of his personal life there, and, you know, it's a tragic event, obviously you can't ignore that, but if you put that to the side and you only focus on his wrestling and you imagine what he could have done with another 10 years, like, Chris Benoit could have been the best that ever stepped in the ring.
Yes.
He was arguably the most skilled wrestler we've ever seen. I mean, him and touched on a big one of mine earlier with Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie,
I mean, those guys just, they had a level of, like, technicality, like athleticism, strength, skill. Like they just had everything.
And yeah, with
those
Eddie,
two had a really deep bond too.
Yeah, but with Eddie, the thing that could have, you know, Chris Benoit could have made it to the top, but I think the thing that would have put Eddie maybe the greatest of all time was
the mullet.
He had the look, women. He's a good looking dude. Women loved him. He could work up the crowd. He was
man
his
drove a lowrider to the ring. He didn't give
was,
a shit.
He was as charismatic. He was as charismatic as Hulk Hogan. I mean, he could work the crowd. And as you said, Cody, he was technically sound, man. His stuff was clean. And oh, for sure. I really liked him. And Ray reminded me that too. Ray just didn't have the character to draw.
I mean,
you know,
the honestly, most luchadors didn't because they didn't say anything. Well, he started talking more later on.
But, a little bit, know, but yeah. Not much. But yeah. he said more without saying anything than most of them said with saying everything, you know. I mean, you got the wins like
all
The Rock.
All had to do was walk to the ring and hit that.
Everybody would go crazy, man. Yeah, I'll tell you another one that I thought was unappreciated was Chris Jericho. I liked Chris Jericho. I really did.
Oh, yeah, I did, too.
Oh, yeah, Chris Jericho, Y2J.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, Chris Jericho was probably my first ever favorite wrestler when he had, like, the long lion's mane haircut because he was such a loudmouth. Like, you know, I'm you know, 25, so, like, the 90s wrestling I'm a huge fan of, and I've watched it my whole life by catching up on it. But the era that I would, like, first remember watching would have been, like, 01, 02. When, you know, Chris Jericho, as he would have told you 1,000 times during that era, beat The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same night.
Yep.
And became the Undisputed Champ.
Yeah.
And that loudmouth man coming out and hitting the rawest Jericho every week.
Yeah.
That was just impossible not to love.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to welcome to my our friend Kendall Mangum on the line. Hey, Kendall, what's going on with you, baby?
Well, appreciate you having me, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kendall's a huge wrestling nut, Jason. He's more of your age bracket than mine and Cody's.
Oh, good deal, good deal.
Yeah, so like, hey, Cody's like me, Kendall. He's more of a younger generation kind of wrestling fan. You know, hey, you're on
ain't,
up there where you
no
know
school like old.
Yeah,
ain't no school like old school.
Preach it, baby.
Hey, you know, this is a question I'm gonna ask both of y'all. Who do you think? When I give y'all a few minutes to elaborate on it, who do you think had the best like knockout move of wrestling? You know, like the Tombstone or the Stunner or the Rock Bottom or whatever, you know.
Oh, this one's easy. Go ahead, guy.
All right, Kendall, Cousin Newman, I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going to see it mean you. I was going to see it mean you're on the same wavelength.
All right.
Back in my day, hands down, DDT.
Jason has been
falling over Diamond Dallas Page since I brought this damn subject up, honest to God.
Oh, with the mullet, no, boy. Straight up diamond cutter, son. he threw the sign. Boy, he would lock that head.
Yeah. That was your ass.
You knew it was coming, but I remember in a couple matches, it would be like three or four of them running to the ring to get on him. He smacked one of them, turned around, DDT the hell out of him, turned back around, popped the other one, turned back to the fourth one, DDT their ass, kicked the other one for a good fit. Hey, bitch, come on! And pop, DDT their ass. Diamond Dallas Page, baby!
Jason's
in
not
the
on
house.
Drugs. He's just hyper.
Dude, the best... Hey, I take it back. The best wrestler of all time, baby.
Kendall,
damn!
Honest to God, he is non-stop since I brought this up. Diamond Dallas Page! Diamond Dallas Page! I'm like, holy shit,
dude! There ain't no move better than the diamond cutter, son. Yeah, that shit. Hey,
can't beat DDP. I even got the DDP yoga.
Dude,
he did start a yoga class because I heard him on radio talking about it.
The DDP.
I even got DDP yoga.
Hey, dude, that move laid out the best
that's
of them.
Dedication.
Yeah, that move laid out the best of them, son.
Hey, Cody, who you got that was the best move of all time, man?
See, that's really tough. You know, I mentioned at the start that I'm a big time Shawn Michaels fan.
Yep.
So I'm really partial to the Sweet Chin music, but I'm going to go a little bit here that it's definitely underrated because it's by far nobody I consider the best wrestler of all time. But if you're talking about best finisher, Sugar Shane or Hurricane Helms, I don't know which one you would know him as, but he had a move called the Vertebraker.
Ooh,
I don't know if any of y'all are familiar
that's
with
where he dropped his spine on his shoulder.
That's essentially he locked arms with you and he like rolled over and picked you up on your back. So like your head was facing down when he was standing and then he dropped you on your head. So it was like a pile driver, but man, the way he pulled it off, if you haven't never seen it, you should Google it because
hey, Cody,
we're watching it right now.
Like hey Cody, hold on 1 second. Our producer to pull it up on YouTube though. He's letting us watch it. Hold on real quick.
Oh, here it comes. Oh,
what the
oh my God.
Oh my god. That's disrespectful as hell.
Oh yeah,
they banned that move. They won't do it no more.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was banned quick. It looks like death when he hits
it. Oh my god. Yeah, it does, dude. I still like the DDP though.
Oh yeah.
Because that one took too long. You couldn't do that to multiple people the way Diamond Dallas would. Diamond Dallas take on five of them at a time. This take a little bit of time to set up.
Y'all know the one I found the most disrespectful was the Bronco Buster by X-Pac. Or X-Pac.
Oh, yeah.
Bronco Buster. That was disrespectful as hell, boy. I ain't lying. Like,
ride him, Sally, ride.
That and Rashiki are probably the two most
disrespectful, though. No, the most disrespectful move is when Rikishi danced. Yeah, that's
I don't know. We're watching one right now on YouTube. Is she wanted the Bronco bust me? Shit, she can go ahead. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah,
that's a difference. That's not X-Pac doing that one.
You touched on it with Rikishi and you got the Bronco Buster, but if you want to talk disrespectful, Mankind pulling that dirty sock out of his
underneath Mr. Socko. Yeah, that man didn't give a shit.
Oh, man. Yes.
Hey, Goose. Google Mr. Socko.
Okay. Who had the worst finishing move, though?
Oh, I hated Hulk Hogan's big boot.
No, I'll tell you. Lex Luthor to me with that rack.
Yeah, torture rack.
I mean,
I don't hate the torture rack. The torture rack wasn't the best move, but it was all right. I couldn't get the torture rack, but I want to be a Lex fan, no way.
We're watching Foley put it out right now.
The Hulk Hogan leg drop, you know, as iconic as it is, like, how much damage does, like, a 200-pound man's leg do to you when he just falls on you? Like,
but see, you can say the same thing.
The knockout finishes.
You can see the same thing about The Rock and the People's Elbow, but that was one of the most iconic moves of all time. That can't hurt.
There's the most electrifying. Yeah. But he still followed it up with the rock bar.
And he was a chef. Did you know you could smell what he was cooking?
Damn, Chris piped in on this one. I like this. Who do you think? Hey, Kenneth, I'm going to ask you this because I asked Cody already. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time, though, and who you think the most overhyped wrestler of all time?
Wow. Because I always had... if I had to say all-time favorite, I would have to... It's always going to be a toss-up between Sting and Stone Cold. Have to get the edge of Sting.
There you go, Sting, baby. Yeah.
He would trick me out to hold that baseball bat, but he just come out of nowhere.
I used to come up like him. I had the face paint. I even had the rat tail from back in the 80s.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you. But which Sting era are you talking about? Are you talking about like the Crow era where he wore the leather jacket? Or are you talking about the old school with the fluorescent colors on?
I love the beach. Well, we always call it the Beach Bob.
Yes. California. When he used to fight Vader.
Color. See, my favorite, I love the beginning because that's when I was a little kid. I mean, he's the most energetic, had best. I copied everything he did. But when he made the transition to Crow and stuff, I'm like, oh, man, this is totally badass. I said, you can't. The best thing WCW ever did during the Monday Night Wars and stuff is turn Sting, his alter ego and stuff. You couldn't beat that script writing back then.
No, did he ever speak?
Not once he went to the Crow, not much.
Okay. Not for a year.
I didn't think I was crazy. I was like, I don't really ever recall him saying too much, you know, after he, you know, he crossed over per se. Who would you find as your most overrated wrestler?
Most overrated? For some reason, John Cena.
Yeah.
That's up there.
But the young kids love him.
I just can't get into him.
The young kids love him.
Kids love him. I love what he does with the kids. I mean, he can rock a mic. He can do a promo and stuff. It's just something about him and everything. I just can't get into him.
So the only thing
John Cena to me strikes the same chord that I mentioned with Hulk Hogan earlier. Like, the man, he's the epitome of entertainment, but he doesn't have top skill.
It all depends on the era you come. I think it all comes from the era that you grew up in and stuff. Because like I said, for me, Hulk Hogan, I mean, yeah, he was a big thing back in the day. And he was probably corny looking about him now, but same thing with John Cena. I think it's just a generation.
You go to hell. That man, Stone Cold, Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon.
Did you eat your vitamins and say your prayers?
Did you eat your vitamins and say your prayers?
You know, the only thing that hurt me when Sting went to the Crow, to his version of the Crow, is that he lost that animosity towards Vader. And that to me was the all-time best, you know, obviously Hulk and Ric Flair had their fights, but yeah, the Sting versus Vader to me was like, man, yeah, that was a good rivalry, man. The old Vader with the finger split.
That's the best rivalries ever. yeah, between Vader or Ric Flair, I mean, that made Sting's career on the early set.
You know,
yeah, I can agree with that.
Sting and Vader to me reminds me of Brandon and myself.
Yeah.
Of course, I've got, don't have the Beats bod, but Brandon definitely looks like Vader.
I'm about to say, I got my side covered. Yeah. I got my side covered like hell. You go to hell on that one. Hey, y'all know somebody else I like? And Chris is just sitting here going through WrestleMania highlights, man. Somebody I liked and he was creepy as hell was Paul Bearer.
Oh, yeah, he was cool.
Something about that dude just terrified the shit out of me as a young child. Still does.
And I think if you grew a mustache, I think you could pull him off. You probably could pull off Paul Bearer.
Hey, man, y'all go to hell. Hey, here's an interesting question. Who do y'all think has the best rivalry of all time? You know, y'all kind of touched on a couple of them. Cody, I'll let you go first on this one. Who do you think is, you know, some of the best wrestling rivalry of all time, in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, there's so many great ones that come to mind there. I'm not going to say Shawn Michaels, Triple H, even though I could, but I've said Shawn Michaels too many times.
Okay.
One of the best ones of all time was a triple threat rivalry, actually. And Jason, you might have caught the tail end of this. You might not have, but it was actually a tag team rivalry, and it was the Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian versus the Dudley Brothers.
That was a good one.
Yeah, when those three teams stepped in the ring together, it was as good as any two people going head-to-head as you could possibly do.
Yeah, because they had a lot of high-flying action, if I remember right. Very,
get the tables!
Yeah, like, just, you know, off-the-top rope type shit.
They invented the tables, ladders, and chairs match that we have a whole pay-per-view for today. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys were very acrobatic, man. And that's what really turned me on to them when they first came out, is they were just fearless coming off the top rope. They would do about anything. And that was pretty wicked.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that Jeff Hardy was willing to do to his body back in the day, like, if you see that man walking, him and Matt Hardy, like, you see those two just walking now and how stiff their backs are and how many surgeries they've been through. I mean, Jeff Hardy put himself literally to the brink of a terrible drug addiction because of all the stuff he put himself through in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, jumping off 20-foot ladders. And, I mean, forget the ladder. I remember one time he jumped off the SmackDown fist, like the fist
Titron
in the air. He jumped off that. Like,
God.
If you could build it where you could climb to it, Jeff Hardy would jump off of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
You know, we're sitting here watching highlights from like WrestleManias right now. I don't know why this came to mind, but I'm looking at Triple H. You know who he reminds me of? He's like Eddard Stark. You know, like, he plays.
That's what it is.
He looks like Eddard Stark.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. He was a cool wrestler. I don't think he gets enough credit. That and he hooked up with Stephanie McMahon, say what you want to about her, but I found
she's bad, bro.
She a bad woman.
Hey, Kendall.
Me too.
Hey, Kendall, hey, give us your best rivalry real quick, though. And then I got a really good question, though, for you guys. Hey, who's your best rivalry of all time?
Best rivalry?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite rivalry of all time. I would have to go back to Sting and Ric Flair because that's when I came up between Sting, Ric Flair with the Four Horsemen stuff. That's just my personal favorite because that's what I got into.
I approve of that.
I'm watching the highlight right now, but they got Donald Trump, Stone Cold, and somebody shaving Vince McMahon's head. WWE was wilding back in the day.
That's Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley, okay.
Mike Tyson match,
hey, wasn't Bobby Lashley a UFC fighter too? Or something crazy?
MMA.
Okay, I knew it was something.
I couldn't remember.
MMA.
Here's a good question for you.
He was a Marine.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He can be what he want to be. I ain't going to argue with his big ass. So, look, question for you. Kendall, I'll let you go first. Who's your favorite diva of all time?
Ooh.
Diva?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, I had to go back to my childhood, Miss Elizabeth. I'm sorry.
Really?
That's my heart.
Elizabeth. She was the original diva. You feel me?
I grew up back in the day. She was the original. But, I mean, soon after her, I had to give it to Sonny. Sonny was like, Sonny Days all day long.
Yeah, Sonny Days was nice.
All right, Cody, how about you, man? Who's your favorite diva of all time?
Oh, man, honestly, mine would have to come to a lot newer. You know, like, one thing that I'll say modern wrestling has done really well if you haven't really watched any modern wrestling, you wouldn't have known this, but like the women's wrestling scene nowadays is the best it's ever been. Like, it makes the wrestlers that used to have, like, they put a whole lot of effort in developing them.
Yeah.
I have two that are probably tied right now. Both of them are active women's wrestlers, and both of them are, in my opinion, the two best. One of them is Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's got everything that Rick had. Yeah. I mean, she's got a big four that female wrestler. But then it's Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler is an MMA fighter, and I just like her. She's just a bad woman.
Who is that?
No, you say what y'all want to. China got them all beat, but I'm just going to tell you right now.
Well, never mind. I can't speak bad on China. The RIP to China.
Hey, man. China's... y'all just
China had one of my favorite moments ever, though. And if you want to talk about... We had mentioned Chris Jericho earlier. That was like my favorite thing Chris Jericho ever did. Was China had that Intercontinental title for a little bit. And there was a storyline where all these men kept refusing to fight China. And China would just throw them to the ground and pin them. And Jericho went out there. And she was like, "What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" And Jericho was like, "I'll show you." And he just punched her square in the jaw.
I remember,
knocked her to the ground, locked her in the walls of Jericho.
Yeah, old Jericho.
I actually saw China live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw China live in person. Yeah, I seen Triple H, Stone Cold. Well, no, I didn't get to see Stone Cold. He was supposed to be there, but that's when he got power drive on his head by Owen Hart, so he wasn't able to be there. But yeah, I got right up to the front row and everything, saw China. And she really wasn't that big in person.
Really?
Somebody threw a Coke at her head and stuff bounced off her head, one of the audience members. I mean, I thought that was funny myself. But she really was not that big in person.
Huh.
Dude. And that was before the boob job and all that.
I thought she was a good looking woman. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, when she first came along, she had that little manlyish. But I mean, they kind of groomed her a little bit later on when she's a little bit more attractive. And stuff. But
I can agree with that.
Along,
but
especially in person, she won't much. She won't much to look at.
Yeah, man. If I gotta pick a favorite diva, man,
Triple H was tagging.
Yeah, well. Well, he got the better end going with Stephanie McMahon on that one.
I concur.
Yeah, if I got to pick a favorite diva man, mine got to be Trish Stratus. I don't know what it was about Trish Stratus that told my nerves up, but it told them up.
Yeah, between Trish and Lita and stuff, they're probably the two best wrestlers out of that time frame as far as women.
Yeah, I mentioned Lita earlier.
Yeah, a couple others that were decent. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Lita, but the whole gothic look kind of appealed to me.
I don't know. The worst thing about most of them is that, you know, Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels look better than all of them.
I'm glad we have that on recording.
Like, those are pretty boys, man. See, they're like, you know, I'm just saying.
But as I said, you know, Trish Stratus got to be my favorite diva of all time, man. But like, yeah, but I know Cody stays pretty current on wrestling. You know, hey, you still watching though, or do you only watch it doing me and you were at the same place? And you know what I'm talking about?
No, I watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I still watch it most Monday, Friday nights. I mean, I'm getting a little. If really too much scripted, they're not giving them a lot of free range like they did back in the day. But that's what I'm saying. Hands down, a lot of times the female storylines are a whole lot better than the guys are these days.
Huh. It's kind of wild.
I was just watching Charlotte Flair. Is. She is nice.
Hey, Cody, who would you have as your favorite current wrestler?
Ooh, favorite current wrestler. Well, Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins.
The Monday Night Messiah is a name?
Monday Night Messiah.
Yeah, that's a new character.
Or recently he's on SmackDown, so instead of Monday Night Messiah, now he's on Friday Night, so he's SmackDown Savior. So, he's one of my favorites. He's one of the best. I will say definitely one of my favorites right now are the two women that I just mentioned, Charlotte Flair and Shayna Baszler, as far as like emotional investment goes. And then something pretty wild, reminiscent of like a classic Mankind, would be his name is Bray Wyatt, but the Fiend is the one who actually wrestles.
Yeah, the Fiend. Yeah, he's not. He's doing.
So Seth Rollins.
Honestly, if you
want to
look up something from him, even better than like actually watching his matches, you got to watch the Firefly Funhouse and see how just loony this guy is.
Now it's called what? The Firefly what?
Firefly Funhouse.
It's kind of like a messed up Mr. Rogers.
It's exactly like a messed up Mr. Rogers.
I don't know what that is, but I am sold. Yeah, they'll probably check that out after the show. Yeah, because our producer got it pulled up right now, so I'll probably check that out, man. But hey, man, I appreciate y'all joining us for this. And like I said, there's probably going to be like a one or two part thing because Yeah, because a couple of people have reached out about it, though, and it's something I truly enjoy. You guys seem to love it. It's as hype as I've seen Jason, you know, hey, ever since football season's ended for him. Was talking about Diamond Dallas.
Diamond Page, Dallas, man. And Kirk Cousins, yeah!
Diamond Dallas.
Yeah, but I appreciate that you guys. He was hype, man. McKendall said Diamond Dallas Page and Jason Danmer, Diamond cutting me through the table.
Yeah. You keep talking shit, you ask.
I would love to see you lift me. Your back ain't that good.
Let me tell you something. Momentum is what makes the DDT work, man.
That myth. Hey, guys, is there anything y'all want to say before we lead off, man?
Congrats to my boy Jacob Willis for taking home that league title this year.
Way to go, Jacob.
Hey, I get half that title, man, because I had the worst trade in fantasy history this year.
Congratulations, Jacob.
For Julian Edelman, that was bad.
Yeah, God, it was so bad.
And then the other thing I got to say, you know, while I got this platform here on live air, I got to just go ahead and give the opposite of a shout out.
Yes.
And say,
Sacco.
I told you Clemson sucked. I told you Dabo was about to cost him this game. Trevor Lawrence ain't nothing. Joe Burrow all day.
Oh,
you wrong.
God.
Hey, man, I thought you was going to call out your brother about being leaked Sacco for the third time. Damn.
I mean, there's some things that are so bad you don't got to call them out. Sacco may be Sacco, but Hopkins is still holding on to hope for Clemson. So,
oh, man.
I got to tell you, Hopkins, you're my boy, but Jonathan Hopkins, you have been wrong about every sports take you've ever said in your entire life.
Hey, real quick, man, he was really wrong, though, when he said James Harden and Kyrie Irving was sacrifice. Yeah, okay. Okay. I believe that when I see it.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much again. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor. When we get back, it's time for some food talk. Because ain't nothing get me more excited than Kirk Cousins, Diamond Dallas Page, and some chocolate cake.
And Tyler.
One nice right ice cream alert. 654 Jose. Okay, one nothing.
Welcome back to 3rd and 8, coming to you from the UCC studios here in Oxford, North Carolina. It's time for our last segment. Let's get back to the show with your hosts, Brandon Adcock and Jason Varner.
Hey guys, welcome back here to 3rd and 8, and of course our last segment is our most favorite in our food segment, man. Our 90s wrestling segment had Jason in here yelling about the Diamond Cutter doing me. He loving on Stone Cold, you know what I'm saying, dropping a Stone Cold stunner on everybody from Donald Trump to his boss and Vince McMahon, driving a beer truck down the aisle, everything. Now, but tonight, man, we're going to talk about a more serious topic as far as going on in our country. Obviously, last year COVID hit, there were a lot of people lost their jobs and stuff like that, man. That's very unfortunate, though. And so our topic, you know what I'm saying, tonight, hopefully it's not real sad. Hopefully we can make it funny. And, of course, I'm here. It'll be funny. We're good. Oh, nothing. Just dead silence. I hate y'all.
Sorry. Oh, no. Give him the laugh. Give him the laugh.
I don't have a laugh, but
I get
drums.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Anyway, that's the one for the beer. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying, you assholes, tonight's topic is going to be meals on a budget. And so here's what we're going to do is, man, is obviously, you know what I'm saying, the standard American size, according to Hamburger Helper, you lying bastards, is a family of four. All right, so a family of four, now for $5, how would you feed a family of four people for $5? So you can pick any meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
$5. Wow.
Yeah, for four people.
Oh, yeah,
$125 a piece.
I guess the only way I could accomplish that one. Jeez, man, I can't have 75 more cents. I can go to like Big T's or Little Caesars. Jeez, man.
No.
God.
When you say four people and you mention Hamburger Helper, do you want the four people Hamburger Helper would feed? Or the four people that I would feed?
I am, put it this way, I am the four people Hamburger Helper would feed.
You're right, like, exactly.
Chris, me and you are the eight people Hamburger Helper would feed, exactly. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, even the family size is a disappointment.
Yeah. Okay, let's see, $5. Okay, so I guess I would have to go with the classic. I take my tail down to Walmart, find the cheapest pack of hot dogs, the ones that says like chicken beets and feet mashed in.
Bologna?
Chicken beets. And, you know, normally like some of them would be like, Nathan's would be like pure beef, or some of them would be like pure turkey. Well, this one would be like pure chicken beets and feet. To be able to do it for $5, you'd have to buy that pack.
I mean, aren't they all that though, really?
I mean, yeah, but they don't have to tell me
they're
way
a little more open about it. They're like, here, everything left after Jesse Jones got done.
Yeah, like, so obviously a pack of hot dogs and some great value white bread, and if I've got any spare change left over, maybe a bottle of Great Value mustard.
So are we putting a hot dog weenie on a piece of white bread and folding it
Look
up?
Look here, you boozy bastard.
No, I'm asking the question.
That's how we did it. Yeah,
I'm totally on board with that. But the question is, do you just fold it and eat it as is? Or do you like squeeze it around and make it kind of like a corn dog? Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Here's the catch. If it's just ketchup and mustard, I squeeze it. If it's slaw and ham, what the hell? chili.
$5, bro. You can't have all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can get 2 packs of Mario stuff for $2, a loaf of bread for $1. The mustard's about 97 cents.
Don't forget the government's cut.
I stopped it right there, buddy. Two packs of hot dogs, loaf of bread, and a can of mustard.
Just saying.
A can of mustard?
A bottle of mustard.
Well, I was going to say, what kind of mustard are you buying?
You never seen mustard in a can?
No.
Oh, y'all.
No, but look.
You wilding. You're yellow. Look,
you talking about during COVID time, though, so you got to pay for masks to get in the damn store. So, I mean, your budget just keeps going down and down and down. But, yeah, no, light bread and some hot dog, and if I got enough extra money, some mustard. Or, if I can't get those things, the 98-cent a can of sauerkraut, great value, and the most expensive piece of sausage I can afford.
Okay.
And do some sauerkraut weenies.
Now, the way the price of sausage has went up, you'll get one link for $3. Yeah.
Sauerkraut, really?
Dude,
it's sour in the name.
It's good. Dude, what the hell's wrong with you? Put some salt and pepper
good's
on that.
Good's not the name sour is, though. Yes. Like, I don't mind it. I don't hate it.
I mean, I've smelled it before, and that's as far as I can.
You've never had it.
It has never been in my mouth. No.
We need to. You've got to try it live on the show next week.
You know how Chris is, man. He bougie.
No, I'm finicky. There's a difference.
That's fair.
Dude, come on.
See, I can say bougie. I can't say the F word. You just
take one for the team.
Next week. Come on. Next week, we'll cook up some sauerkraut. You got to try one bite next week on air. Commit to it for fans.
Chris, in fairness to Jason, I drove to Disney one time on a plane. I rode to Disney World, on a train, right? 12 hours. Got off and went to Animal Kingdom. I was inebriated, and the first thing I saw there was a foot-long hot dog stand. I wanted the best hot dogs, man. I was glazed over. I was like, I want everything, Doc. Give me sauerkraut. And I was like, I can mess with this. I hadn't had it since then, because something about the texture just, it looks bad. Now, I'll eat it if you do it. You know me, I'll eat anything.
All right. We got to do it. Next week on the show, you can fry a center block.
I'll be like,
We're going to try sauerkraut next week on the show live, man. And you're going to watch. He's going to be surprised. He's going to be like, hey, man, it's pretty good.
All right, Krista, what would your five? Hey, $5 meal for four people be?
$5 meal. So I got two options. My first one's going to be probably something really simple like ramen noodles. I know that's kind of boring in and of itself, but my wife has this thing.
Yeah, you can buy like 90 boxes.
and feed like a million people.
Yeah, village.
Yeah, so my wife's dad used to put vegetable beef soup in there, vegetable beef stew, whatever it is. It's a little can of, it wouldn't be Campbell's. I guess we'd go with
Clover Valley.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Food Lion, but you put that in there, you boil it all together. It's awesome. It's really good. It adds a little thickness to it, so it's not just noodles and water.
Yeah.
It's really good. The one I can't get behind, and that's with the beef ramen. With the chicken ramen, that's one I can't get behind. She puts cream of mushroom soup in it. Now, Jason, I know your love of mushrooms.
Mm-mm, no.
So here's the deal. I will try your sauerkraut, sir.
Ooh, a taste challenge.
I will do the beef soup one, but I ain't doing that.
No.
But screw the fans.
Jason, in his defense, all right, y'all do each other, I'll do both. Wait a minute. Y'all eat each other's food. That went left. Y'all eat each other's food, though, and I'll eat both.
Tell the world how you really feel, Brandon.
I'm watching. You eat the mushrooms, you eat the sauerkraut, I eat both. No shame.
Dude, trust me. You will like yours more than I like mine.
No, you won't.
I'll guarantee it.
No, you won't, because one of them's good. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
The cream.
So we'll do that next week. We can do that. And there's one other option I have, though, because if y'all have seen a can of Van Camp's pork and beans.
Those are good, dude.
Yeah, they're great. But you know they're like $4 for a can that'll feed, I don't know, a mouse?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so what we're going to be going with is a pack of them weenies. And then we're going to be taking some Food Lion brand pork and beans.
Preach on just, it. Took just, mine, baby. I'm about to go with another one.
Just some beans. We're going to cut them up. We're going to put them in the pan. I love them, man. Yeah, they don't love me, but I love
them. Do you like them warm or do you like them cold?
Oh, you put them in the pot. You heat all that stuff up and you can eat them hot.
Cold, too. I love them
some
cold.
Oh, yeah. The Van Camps, yeah. But if you're going to make them yourself, you can't eat them cold.
Are we going to be able to have some bread with it? Because if we could get some bread with it, man.
I mean, you could for that price, but I don't know what you're going to do with the bread.
You smother it on the bread. It's like a spread. You ain't never done it like that.
It's not a smear.
No. Duh.
The hell it ain't. Try, dude.
It's a hot dog and beans, bro.
Hey, man. So do it. Try. It's
this
good.
Is my grandma's special growing up, and we all had this. So, like, it's like all my cousins, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna, you know what I'm saying? They attested this. It was the beanie weenies and macaroni and cheese and potatoes. I love putting it all in a bowl.
It's together?
Hear me out. Here's your base of the beanie weenies, as I call them. Next is your macaroni and cheese. And obviously, your top layers have got to be the... I'm blacking out again. The mashed potatoes.
I like all these things, but I can get behind the mac and cheese with the potatoes, but I don't know about the beans and weenies.
I'm telling you, it is heavenly. But it's you ain't making that stuff for $5. If I had to pick a meal for $5,
why couldn't I?
I was going to say, I thought we only had a $5 limit.
Well, yeah, instant potatoes
are not cheap.
You can get a bag for 78 cents. Instant potatoes
are 99 cents.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the Idaho bag.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I guess you could make you that could. Then. Yeah.
So you
have to skip on the beans a little bit, though.
A little bit, but I'm okay with that because it didn't sound appealing. But why don't you make yours? I'll make mine, and Jason make his, and we can all taste test each other.
I'm cool
with meals. Okay, I'm y'all all right with you making yours being the vegetable soup one, but that cream of shit, that was your wife.
Hey, so
cream of mushroom, you mispronounced it.
Cream of shit, cream of mushroom.
I rest my case.
The best one, I think, though, that the kids would love, no argument from the kids. Your wife will love, no argument though from the wife.
Doubtful.
Yeah, I met your wife, that's true.
I was going to say, yeah.
A box of pancake mix, $1.45, and some water and syrup. You know how many people you can feed on a box of pancakes?
I'm all right with pancakes. They just don't fill you up. Like, you're full like an hour or two, but then
they get you by for an hour?
Well, if I'm buying pancake mix, why ain't I making waffles?
I mean, preach on, bro.
Waffles requires a special cooking device. Pan. If you can't afford...
Oh, so in my $5, I got to also come up with the electric bill for my oven
what I'm saying is...
He's talking
about having a waffle iron.
Yeah, but you're having to get
You couldn't find a waffle iron you could put over a fire pit, Jason?
I mean...
Come on now.
Dang, man, we still got to carry out jobs and shit. I can get behind some breakfast.
Home on the range.
Yeah, but see, you're missing the butter, man. You got to have the butter. And the butter ain't cheap.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Has it got to be butter?
Nah, as long as it looks like it. Just tell me it's butter.
That's spreadable vegetable spread.
Cracker Barrel. Man. What was it? What was the... the one in the like brownish gray... Country Crock.
Country Crock.
It's just expensive.
Good.
We went for Imperial this last time because it's 35 calories for a tablespoon, and it even tells
Chris,
you.
Chris, when the hell are you watching calories, big dog?
Recently. So, I watch them as I put more of them in the pan.
I said, they watching you too, cuz.
Casually observes.
That's 72.
But I think a whole tub of that thing wasn't bad. It was like $3. It
ain't real butter, man.
It's not. It even tells you, it's like, hey, this is vegetable spread and extras. Like, that's all.
Whatever we swept up off the floor.
If Jesse Jones come through, Bar S come through next, and here comes Imperial Butter. We want all the trimmings.
Yeah. Okay. All right, look. So you're going to make this cream of mushroom nasty stuff.
I'll even eat it if I have to.
You'll make your triple bowl. I'm going to make some sauerkraut and bratwurst. I'm telling you, man, you're going to love it, dude. It's so
I'm
good.
Ready for next. And just by the way, guys, y'all have been asking. I cannot find this one chip challenge no damn where.
We're trying, guys.
I looked in four stores today.
If you know where a store is in Raleigh, Cary, Durham, I'm in all those places throughout the day. Drop a message to us on our Facebook group at 3rd and 8 or on the page at 3rd and 8. Let us know. Send us a message on our website at 3rd and 8.com. Something. Send us a text message if you have our numbers. Something. Let me know where I can find it. I will gladly stop by and pick it up. I know Brendan's excited about this challenge.
I'm not, man. Just, I do it for the people.
I don't know. I guess everybody's excited about the challenge because they're gone. They're not in stock. So.
Yeah, like the girl over here, the cruisers in Oxford, the Popeyes, and was like, yeah, we had some, baby, but I'm sold out. I was like, damn. She was like, I don't know how y'all want to eat that hot-ass chip for. She was real with it. She was like, I don't know why y'all want to eat that hot ass chip. I was like, hey girl, I'm just doing it for the people.
We're trying to get our 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
I love what they charge for them bad boys. She ought to be pleased she's selling.
Yeah, what are they charging for?
Amazon. Look, so Amazon told me $29 for a chip.
What?
Now, I'm gonna tell you something. Just hang tight. Jesus Christ himself could ascend back down to hell, use the fire from hell, and bake a chip. Keep it hot, and I would be damned if I paid $29 for a chip.
No, Lord. No.
You know how many Lay's chips I can get for $29?
Well,
12 chips and a shitload of air. Yeah.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, nah. $29?
Yeah.
We're going to need a new sponsor.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you not notice when he said, hey, I'll cash app you back when you pick up three chips?
Oh, no. Well, see, here's the thing. That was Amazon. Hey, everybody I talked to in stores, it's like, yeah, it's like $5 at the Speedway. It's
even at $5, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to feed four people off $5, so $5 for a chip. Hey, we're going to need a sponsor. If you know anybody that'd like to sponsor this chip challenge.
Even better, you might kill one for $5. You know I got bad heartburn. That ran down on air.
Yeah. All right, guys, look, we hate to do it, but we got to turn you off tonight. We appreciate you for tuning in to us. We love you. You're part of the Third and Eight family, the greatest family in podcast history.
And I cannot feed y'all for $5.
We'll try to. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
God bless America.